Good morning, everyone. Airstrikes reported in Libya this morning, and we're following developments in that country. But we're going to delay our coverage of what's going on in Libya to give you a chance to weigh in with some questions. In our second half hour, we're going to be decoding the situation in Libya, give you some historical perspective, and let you know what the tribal influences are should Muammar Gaddafi leave. And, of course, that's very much an open question. Call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE or post a comment at thetakeaway.org. But we begin this morning with a union story playing out in two dramatically different places in the economy. One almost obscenely profitable, the private sector, the NFL, and the other near bankruptcy and in the public sector, state legislatures in Wisconsin, Ohio now, and we'll talk about that in a moment, and Indiana. But the issues are actually close to the same. Is collective bargaining of union workers a hindrance to prosperity or a right of workers to claim a piece of the economic pie? We're going to begin with the curious chess game taking place in the very profitable NFL. A chess game, which may end this game later this year.
Rodgers looking left, comes to his right. Jennings! Touchdown!
Super Bowl 45 there, but no Super Bowl 46? Well, the NFL Players Association is threatening to decertify their own union today, a legal chess move in anticipation of a potential lockout by the league, which would start tonight. Here's their lead negotiator, Jeff Pash, speaking to the Associated Press.
Want the fans to know that we're trying. We're trying. We understand our responsibility. And if we don't get it done, we know that we'll have let them down. And we take that very seriously. So do our owners.
If no action is taken, the collective bargaining agreement will expire at midnight tonight. There's still time, though. Football season doesn't begin for months. But why would NFL players want to decertify their own union? What does it mean for the future of football? Joining us, Richard Sandomir, sports, business, and media columnist for our partner, The New York Times. Good morning, Richard.
Good morning. How are you?
And very, very well, although if I'm a football fan, maybe I'm not feeling so good this morning. A little queasy in the stomach, wouldn't you say?
Well, yeah, there is a queasiness when you think that there could be a lengthy lockout or lawsuits flying all over the place and the possibility of no football.
Also with us, known for his queasy stomach, Nando DeFino, sports reporter for The Wall Street Journal. Good morning, Nando.
Good morning, John. How's it going?
All right, so we got the Times and the Journal, the two heavyweights in sort of sports media here, or at least newspapers, talking about what's going on in the NFL. Richard Sandomir, what are the unique issues facing the players and the owners in the NFL that have really nothing to do with the broader union issue? And then I want to ask Nando what actually is close to other issues that we've been exploring over the last few weeks.
Well, overlooking the whole thing is how to split revenues. And because they can't agree on splitting revenues, that the union wants, that the league wants to take away another $1 billion off the top and then share the revenues that way, which isn't something that the union doesn't want to do. The union now saying we'll decertify because as players we can individually sue the league under the antitrust laws, and that's how free agency came about in 1993, because individual players sued the league. But that's what decertification does.
What does the, and you wrote about this yesterday, what does the television contract and all the sort of things that make the NFL lucrative, its media contracts and broadcast contracts do to complicate the situation or favor one side or the other?
Well, the judge in the case, Judge Doty, ruled that the that a previous ruling by a special master was wrong and said, listen, you guys, we are not going to, you know, the league is supposed to negotiate television contracts on behalf of both the league and the players. And he said the league negotiated this on behalf of themselves and did not get enough money for benefits provided to the networks in 2009-2010. This is a $4 billion pool of money, which is nearly half of what the NFL gets. So the union felt very triumphant on this because they're saying this might be the next step before the judge says the league cannot use this $4 billion during a lockout year.
And the issue there is that the owners have this money as a way of tiding them over, whereas players have no such money.
Well, they have a lockout fund, but it's not $4 billion.
Right, right, right.
And during a lockout, if the NFL still has the money, they can pay for things like debt service on their stadiums.
Nando DeFino, sports reporter for The Wall Street Journal, what's your reaction to all this? And do you think there's a way of saying that the players are in the lead here based on this judge's ruling yesterday, or are the owners holding all the cards?
No, I think the ruling yesterday actually kind of changed the game a little bit, and I think that's the buzz that people are taking away from it, is that, you know, the union's kind of rejoicing over it because it takes away, you know, one of the bullets in the gun that the owners had. But, you know, a lot of us have been kind of preparing for this for close to a year. You know, we knew people were starting to talk about this around this time last year, saying, you know, look out for next year. The last year's free agency was kind of like a Wild West. Like, there was no cap. You could sign anybody. It was kind of just, you know, the dark clouds on the horizon. So, I mean, you know, people knew it was coming. It's just now it's kind of nice to have this decision to at least push them along a little farther than they would have been if it hadn't been decided that way.
Nando DeFino, I want you to make a comparison here. We've talked a lot in the last several weeks about taxpayers and appeals to taxpayers. We're trying to help you out by decertifying or removing collective bargaining rights in state houses to cover fiscal debts in state houses. The taxpayers in this situation are the fans. Even though people talk about the fans a lot in this NFL dispute, do fans have any real role to play, any card to play here, any power in this?
I'd say they have a little more than years past, because now with Twitter and Facebook and all that stuff, you have more direct access. So a guy like, you know, Michael Vick is going to get pressure from his Twitter followers, for instance, to say, can you get this done, please? And then, you know, that pressure will be passed along to his union reps. I mean, it's such a small – it's not a huge impact, but you're going to hear a lot more from the fans, because I think people understand that – you know, the fans are basically what fuels this game, and they're, you know, they're charging and surging past baseball and popularity, and, you know, every game you don't play, you're going to lose that. The one little thing they have still going for them is no matter how long this goes out, the draft is going to happen, and fans love the draft. It's just, you know, after that and before that, there's not going to be any movement. So
right.
The fans will come back, I think, no matter what. It's just they'll be grousing and a little angry in the meantime if this drags out.
Nando DeFino, sports reporter for The Wall Street Journal. What's at stake business-wise, Richard Sandomir, in places like Green Bay, Wisconsin, the NFL with the Green Bay Packers, Super Bowl champions, are the biggest business in town?
Well, you know, when no business goes on, obviously, it filters down to everybody else. There's an estimate that if the games are not played, it's $400 million is lost per week in the whole league business.
Wow.
But, you know, to the fan thing, I think right now the fans can do with Twitter, but there are no games, you know, we're not close to the season, so you're probably not going to find fans protesting at stadiums.
Very little leverage there. Yeah. Richard Sandomir, sports, business, and media columnist for our partner, the New York Times, talking about union issues, collective bargaining in the NFL. Coming up, a look at the private sector in the state of Ohio. Public sector, I mean.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing. Or
politics.
Country music.
Hockey.
Sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.